We now begin the eighth and final parak of Maseches Shavuos, and this is really an easy parak dealing with the topic of Shavuos HaShomrim, but it really builds on much that we learned in the rest of the Masechta. So if you're not clear on those principles, it's going to become challenging and unclear. So let me just remind you about the basic essential principles you need to know to understand this. We said back in the beginning of the Masechta, the third, fourth, fifth prakim, that there were different kinds of Shavuos that a person could take and he swears on his own. And the main category that's called the Shavuos Bitui, a person swears that something did or didn't happen, or that he will or won't do something. If he lied, or he didn't do what he said he's going to do, so then he is going to be liable to bring a chatas, a sin offering, and it's a special kind of chatas called the Olav Yored, a variable sin offering, depending on how much he can afford. We also had the Shavuos Shav and the Shavuos Te'edus. I'm going to discuss those right now. And then we had the Shavuos Pikadon. Shavuos Pikadon literally means the oath regarding a deposit, but really it means anytime a person is denying a financial obligation. So if a person swears that he doesn't owe someone else money, for whatever reason, whether because he's denying he has a deposit, or that he found an object, or he owes him wages, or that he stole from him and the like, so then if one lies regarding that financial obligation, there is a penalty of not a chatas, like regular shavuos bitui, but rather a asham, a guilt offering called the asham gazelos, the guilt offering brought for stealing, and also one pays not just what he owes, but also adds a 25% surcharge called the chomesh. Now, that's part one. Okay, so see, Shavuos Pikadon is kind of like a special category of bitui, where you're swearing about not owing someone money, but actually you really do. Now, you recall we had, besides for those self-administered or self-initiated outside of Beis Din Shavuos, we have three Shavuos that the Torah requires one to make. And these also you shouldn't have to pay. They happen in Beis Din. They're the Shavuos Mor B'Miktzas, when it's a partial admission, the Shavuos Eid Echad, if there's one witness that says someone owes the money. And finally, the Shavuos HaShomrim. Now, actually, the topic of this parak, Shavuos HaShomrim, is the Shavua, oath that a Shomer, a custodian or guardian, takes to say he was a guardian in good faith, but he's exempt from having to pay. Now, the Shavuos HaShomrim really involves three separate commitments, three separate oaths. The first is Shelo Bershuso. A person is a Shomer Chinam. He was doing someone a favor and watching his friend's stuff for free, and then something happened. I don't know, thieves came in the night and stole the stuff. So he will not have to pay, because as we'll discuss more in a moment, the Shomer Chinam is exempt for paying in such a scenario. But he will still have to swear the Shavuos HaShomrim, which are really threefold. Firstly, he swears Shelo Bershuso, it's not in his possession. He swears he doesn't have the bicycle that he was asked to watch. And then, and there are two more Shavuos, according to the Rambam, this is really through Gilgal Shavuot, whatever it is, different Shitas. He also has to swear Shelo Shalach Bo Yad. He didn't misappropriate, meaning make use of the object he's meant to be guarding. So in other words, he didn't ride the bike around the block prior to getting stolen. And finally, Shelo Pasha Bo, that he wasn't negligent in his custodianship, meaning he was a guardian and was unpaid, and he says, listen, I didn't like do something like leave the gate open and the garage door open, and then the thieves came and took the bike because it wasn't closed, you know? Which would be not the sufficient amount of guardianship that a custodian is meant to, you know, provide, even as a Shomer Chinam. So those three elements, that he's not in his possession, that he didn't misappropriate it before cut, lost or stolen, whatever it is, and that he didn't act inappropriately in terms of basically serving as a custodian as he should. So those are the Shavuos HaShomrim. Now, these two things kind of overlap, because if the Shomer is denying financial obligation, so he potentially is doing it's like a Shavuos Pikadon. In other words, he's denying he owes someone money, when really he does. And if he was lying, he would be on the hook, at least potentially, for a Asham Gazelos, withholding money he owes, and also the chomesh. It's also possible that we said that a person is only liable for a shavuos hapikadon if his claim, his false oath, is what made him not have to pay. But if he would have fessed up to what happened, he still wouldn't have to pay. Then the shavuos hapikadon doesn't obligate him to his lying about owing money, doesn't really obligate him to bring the asham. Because That's the rule. He wasn't like a financial claim, so therefore he wasn't causing the guy. He wasn't causing his, I'll call him his victim that he's swearing to lose by his oath. If he would have admitted, he also wouldn't have to pay. That's the scenario. So then he's not in violation of shvus pikadon, but still, of course, he is in violation of shvus bitu. He's lying under oath. He's swearing falsely. Therefore, we'd still have to bring at least a chatas. Okay. So there are certain scenarios where a person, as a shomer, would be exempt. If he swears that he doesn't have to pay, when even he would have admitted he wouldn't have had to pay, so then he took the shvus shomrim, but it wasn't like a violation of shvus pikadon that he have to bring a asham for, because he didn't cause the loss through his oath. He's just a stam, a liar under oath, and therefore it's shvus bitu. He brings a chatas instead. Okay, the Mishnah is focusing just on the obligation to bring the asham gazela, so it'll call that putter. Okay, so now let's just remind ourselves quickly of the four categories of shomer, which really is what the topic of our first Mishnah is, okay? And we'll say it explicitly. I'm just sort of summing it outside first, then we'll see it inside. The Torah has four categories of shomer, guardian or custodian, but the truth is it only has three levels of responsibility, okay? There are three levels of liability in terms of being a guardian or custodian, acting as a shomer, okay? There's someone who has to pay regardless, someone who never has to pay, I don't know if he acted in good faith, and someone someone has to pay if the object was stolen or lost, but not if it was circumstances beyond his control. Okay, so we have, on the one side, the shomer chinam, the unpaid custodian. He is going to be essentially exempt from ever having to pay if he behaved properly, meaning he's pater even from geneva and aveda. Even if someone stole the object in the night time, even if just he said, I don't know, it's lost. I was watching your cow and now it's out here. It must have got out in the night somehow. So again, if he acted in good faith, he did what he was supposed to do, he'll be exempt from having to pay. Then you have on the other extreme of the shomer chinam, on the one extreme where he's doing a favor to his friend. Here, you could be a shoel. A custodian is a borrower. So now this friend is doing him, the borrower, the shomer, the favor. Because the guy who needs to borrow a cow says, can I borrow your cow? His friend says, yes, go right ahead, for free, enjoy it. So that person's called a shoel, and the shoel is obligated for everything. Meaning, even if lightning strikes that cow, the lender can say, listen, I gave you my cow, I want a cow back. You know, I was doing you a favor, but now you're getting back my cow no matter what. So that's the normal rule, meaning that for not just geneva and aveda, theft and loss is the shoel, the borrower, liable for, but even for onsen, even circumstances beyond his control, okay? However, there is one way in which even a shoel can swear and be exempt for him to repay what he borrowed, and that is if what's called mesa kadarka. If he said he's going to use the object he borrowed for some specific use, and he used it in the way it was supposed to be used, and it anyways got ruined or died, you can say, listen, you lent me your cow to plow. I plowed in the cow. I wasn't negligent. It was what you expect me to do, and the cow died. So, okay, I'm sorry, but you know that was what you authorized me to do it, so I don't have to repay you. So that, even then, the shoel could swear it was mesa kadarka and be exempt, so that he also could take the shvus hashomer. Then you have the middle category. The middle category is for the shomer sachar, the paid custodian, or as the Mishnah will call it, the noses sachar, the one who takes payment, meaning for acting as a guardian, as a custodian, as a shomer. And such a person, the noses sachar, the shomer sachar, he is liable for theft and loss, meaning if he says it got away or was stolen in the nighttime, so then he'll be liable to pay, but because that's what he's being paid for to do, to be a guardian. But if it was circumstances beyond his control, called onsen, yeah, circumstances beyond his control, but the Mishnah will refer to it as either shavura, an animal attacked it, say, and broke it, destroyed it, you know, ate it alive, whatever, shavuya, some armed bandits or pirates, you know, they took it by force, or mesa. Mesa is just that it died, like, you know, by natural death, whatever the story is. Those are onsen. Those, the nosa sachar, a.k.a. also known as the shomer sachar, will be exempt. He has to swear that's what happened, and he'll be exempt. Okay. The fourth category of custodian is called the socher, the renter. There's a machlokas tanaim, if the renter, who also is, you know, he's paying for usage, so they're both getting something, if it should be like a shomer sachar, again, it's a negotiated transaction, like a shomer sachar, I'll give you custodianship services, but you'll pay me, so we both get something, or if it should be like a shomer chinam. In any case, the halacha and our Mishnah goes like Rabbi Yehuda, which is that the renter, the socher, is exactly the same as the noso sachar, the paid custodian. So it means that the renter is liable for ganev and aveda, theft and loss, but he is exempt from onsen, circumstances beyond his control. Okay, so in all those cases, you could have a custodian who essentially is swearing he's exempt, taking the shuas hashomrim, and getting off the hook. If he was lying, so then we'll say that if his lie would have let him get away with not having to pay when he otherwise would have had to pay, it's like a violation of shuas hapikadon, and he has to bring the asham gazelos, and he has to also bring the chomesh. If his lie wouldn't have helped him anyways, meaning didn't help him, if he would have just admitted. Remember, every time you're modeb a kanas, even if you have a kanas, and if you admit something, anytime you a kanas or otherwise, so if in this case the shomrim, you would have, let's say he said it was stolen but really was lost, or vice versa, and either way the shomrim would be exempt, he's not gaining by it, and therefore he's not in violation of shuas pikadon because his oath didn't cause a financial loss. He'll just be over shuas bitui, and the mishnah will say pater, but it means pater from the asham, but he'll be liable for the chatas. Okay. One last final point, and then we're ready to go and see all the Mishnahs, you know, pretty quick and easy, which is that the function of the Chomesh payment and of the Asham Gazelus, it's effect atonement. So if a person, basically, he got busted out by witnesses who, ratted out and told he was lying, so now it's too late. Now he'll have to make amends as appropriate and make restitution as appropriate, but he won't be entitled, he won't be fortunate enough to bring an Asham Gazelos, or pay the Chomesh, because that's going to give him Kapara, atonement, and he doesn't deserve that, because he didn't come to it on his own. It has to be if he wanted to get atonement. This, he's forced into it, so therefore he won't be eligible for bringing an Asham, or paying Chomesh and getting some kind of atonement. Okay, that's the full backstory, and that gives us through a bunch of Mishnah's instructions. Here we see it inside. Mishnah is very simple now. First, this Mishnah, Aleph says, Arba Shomerhen, there are four categories of custodian, of guardians. Shomer Chinam, the unpaid, who's doing the guy a favor. Hashoel, the borrower who's getting the favor done to him. Noset Sachar, the paid custodian. Vasocher, and the renter. Says the Mishnah, Shomer Chinam Nishbal Hakol. A Shomer Chinam, unpaid watchman, he is allowed to take a shvua on anything, meaning both Gnev and Aveda, and also Onsen, and he'll be exempt. Vashoel Mishalem Esakol, the borrower who get the favor done to him, even if it was Onsen, and certainly if it was Gnev and Aveda, he has to pay no matter what. Nosa Sachar Vasocher, as for the paid custodian and the renter, Nishbarna La Shvura Vala Shvuya Vala Mesa, they're allowed to swear if it was Shvura, again broken, meaning it was attacked like by an animal, a lion. Shvuya, it was captured, let's say, by bandits, by armed robbers, pirates, and the like. Well, a mesa, or if it just died in a natural way, or in natural, whether it's lightning bolt or just didn't wake up in the morning, and he'll be exempt. Umishalman esa aveda v'esa ganeva. But if it was stolen, meaning in the middle of the night, someone broke in, and he didn't guard it properly, or sufficiently well that the thieves could get in and get it, or aveda, he lost it. I read that badly. Aveda is he lost it. Ganeva is it was stolen. So then he, the Shomer Sachar, pay custodian, or the Socher, the renter, will have to pay because he was being paid or made a deal otherwise in renting to take extra precautions to make sure that it was safe.